Simon Peches Shaloi Lahalois Basar Al Shulchan Shaoichling Gvina. You're not the din that you're not allowed to put meat on the same table that you're eating cheese, or vice versa. If you're eating cheese at the table, you're not allowed to put on meat on that table. You're not allowed to have it on the same table. That's discussed in Simon Peches. A short Simon. We'll cover it in Mirtz Hashem over the next 20-25 minutes. Says the Mechaber in Sif Aleph, Afilu Basar Chayev Yoif, even if you're only dealing with Basar Chayev Yoif, which when you combine that with milk, it's only going to be Basar Chalav Midarabanan, still, Asr Laha Loisoi Al Shulchan Sha'oichel Alav Gvina. You're not allowed to put it on the same table that you're eating cheese, or vice versa. If you're eating chicken, you're not allowed to put gvina on that table. So you shouldn't come to eat them together. So you're not allowed to eat chicken and milk together. But on the table, on the area where you're arranging, where you're preparing the food, basically the counter, then you're allowed to put side by side a piece of meat and a piece of cheese. You're not allowed to make, well, we're going to learn about making them touch on if they're cold. You know, what would be the halacha for a cold piece of meat and a cold piece of cheese? That's discussed in the beginning of Simon Tzadik Aleph. But not touching, he's saying, just to put them side by side next to each other, there's no concern that you're going to come to eat from the meat and eat from the cheese together. Because you're not really in the process of eating at the time. You're preparing the food. When you're sitting at the table and you're eating, then we have the chashash that if there's other foods on the table, to derech that you usually reach over and eat from other things that are on the table as well, not just the plate in front of you. So you might come, if you're eating chicken, there's cheese next to you, so you might come to eat the cheese. That is the chashash. Now, Afalpi, that it's not mamish negeya to the din, but just to understand, the Gemara is bothered that on this din, this comes from a Mishnah in Maseches Chulin, the Gemara is bothered that this seems to go against the general rule. Generally, we have a rule that ain goizrin gzeila l'gzeira. That chachamim make a gzeira, so you shouldn't come to do a nisr deraisa. For example, the way we pass in the chicken and milk is the rabbanon. Why did they make the gzeira that you can't eat it together? Because you might come to eat meat and milk. So we're telling you that you're not allowed to even put it on the same table because you might come to eat it together. The Gemara says, but what if you eat it together? Even if you eat it together, it's only asr midarabanan. To eat chicken and milk together is also only asr midarabanan. So this seems to go against that rule. So the Gemara discusses why over here we make the gzeira, and it depends on how to understand exactly the answer of the Gemara is a machlokes in the Rishonim. But just important to point out that at least what it seems is that this is going against that rule of making gzeira l'gzeira. So, but the Maisa, when it comes to Basar V'Chalav, we do make this gzeira, and we say you're not allowed to even have chicken and milk on the same table because you might come to eat from it together. Because you might eat it together. And even though mixing milk and chicken is only midrabanan, still, you might mix it with actual meat. And even sometimes mixing meat and milk is only midrabanan, unless you're cooking it together. Still, it's all make this gzeira. Exactly what the mechanics are, so that's an achleikus in the Rishonim. But that's just important to point out.
How far do we go with gzeira on top of gzeira? Do we say at a certain point that, well, too many gzeiras already? We don't.
Well, generally the rule is that we don't make a gzeira l'gzeira. We don't even make the second one. But we're pointing out that in this case, we're making it. How, if the mechanics is the vart that this is an exception where we do make a gzeira l'gzeira, or is this somehow formulated in such a way that it's not considered a gzeira l'gzeira, that's already the machlokes in the Rishonim. But the Gemara discusses this issue. But that's the halacha. The halacha is that we do make the gzeira, you're not allowed to have it on the same table. So we have to know the halachas of when this applies. So the Shach first of all points out right in the beginning of the Simen that this is only a concern in a case like Basar B'Chalav, where you're allowed to eat, let's say you're in the middle of eating meat, so we're concerned that if the other guy's eating cheese, you're going to come to eat that cheese. Why? Because you're allowed to eat cheese. The only iser is you can't eat it while you're eating the meat. So then we're concerned that you might end up eating it while you're eating the meat. But you want to sit on the same table and the person's and let's say it's a goy or someone like that, and he's eating basar nevela, he's eating not kosher meat. So there's no concern that you're going to come to eat from the not kosher meat, because not kosher meat is aser on its own, not just in combination with what you're eating. Chama, we're only concerned when the other food is also kosher, and you're not allowed to eat it together with what you're eating. But in a case where the other food is aser on its own, we're not concerned that you're going to come to eat from that food. So it would be perfectly okay to sit on the same table as the other person is eating something not kosher. We're not going to be concerned that you're going to come to eat it. Now, the Shach says it would seem that this rule, not everybody agrees to this rule, because there are certain examples where it would seem that not everybody agrees to this idea, that it seemingly we find that there are certain cases that, at least according to some opinions, even when it's aser on its own, even when the other food is aser on its own, it'll still be aser to eat on the same table, because you might come, we're going to be concerned that you're going to come to eat from that other food. Nevertheless, the Shach says they really agree that if the guy's eating basar nevela, you'll be allowed to eat it. Those were exceptions because it really fits into the same idea. What's the idea of basar mechala that we're concerned that you're going to come to eat it? Because the milk is mutar on its own, and it's only aser in combination. The concept is that since it's mutar on its own, loy bodel mine, you're not separated from it. A piece of nevela, you're separated from it. You're never going to come to eat a piece of nevela. It's always aser to you, and you make sure not to eat from it. Something was like cheese, which normally on its own you're allowed to eat, so therefore it's loy bodel mine, and we have this concern that you might eat it even though you're in the middle of eating basar. So that we could carry that, once we're broadening the concept a little bit, so now we could apply it to other cases where even if the food might be usher on its own, but if it still fits into the category that you're not bodel mine, that you're for some reason you're not careful to stay away from it, then it would apply. This iser of not having it on the same table, because you might come to eat from it, would apply. So, for example, if somebody makes a neder that he's not going to eat from his friend, if I make a neder, I'm not going to eat from you. So, it says that lemaisa, you're allowed to eat on the same table because probably we're not on good terms. If we're not on good terms, then there's no concern that I'm going to eat from his food. But let's say we would be on good terms, I would make such a neder. So it was mashma that we would not be allowed to eat on the same table, even though his food is not just usher in combination with my food. If I made a neder, so it means I can never eat that food. But again, since...
Sells the food.
Huh?
When the food with the atzma is no problem.
Well, yeah, so kind of that. In other words, since the food... Exactly. Since I'm the food, since the food itself is really mutter, and just I brought the isra on myself. So again, so I'm not naturally separated from eating that food. Similarly, it's what's the other example Shach discusses? Chametz, yeah? Eating, let's say, for a goy to eat chametz on the same table on Pesach, for you to sit on the same table as that the goy is eating chametz. So it could be that Lamaisa, Shulchan Aruch says you're not supposed to do it because since chametz is also b'mashru, the crumb, you know, even if a crumb might fly in your food, it's a problem. So there, okay, so you could be more strict. But in such a case, even if not for that idea, when it comes to bread, anything like that, even if it's talking about a kind of bread that's aser b'fnei atzmoi, we'd still make this gzeira, because bread is something which a person is loy bodel mine, even if it's bread of iser. Because bread is such a staple food, so therefore it's loy bodel mine. So we would have this concern. We would not be allowed to have it. So it's not really just the way we formulated it in the beginning, that it's only a concern, you're not allowed to have it on the same table if it's mutter on its own. You know, even in cases where it's going to be aser on its own, if for whatever reason you're loy bodel mine, like the example of when you make a neder where you brought the iser on yourself, or example of chametz, which we're talking about bread, which is a staple food that you can't stay away from, so these kind of things we would make this gzeira. Now, go weiter. This that we say that it's aser to put it on the same table. This only applies to two people sitting on the same table, two people that know each other. When are we concerned that I'm going to eat from the cheese? I'm eating meat and you're eating cheese. We're on the same table. When am I concerned that I'm going to lean over and dip my piece of schnitzel in some milchigs that you're eating? Yeah, cheese fries, good example. So that's only a concern if we know each other, we're friendly. Then I won't hesitate to lean over, take a little bit of your cheese fries while I'm eating chicken nuggets. But afilu hei makpidim. Now, once we're talking about people that know each other, even if we're dealing with people that are makpid not to eat from each other, sometimes people are on good terms. People that know each other, friendly, they don't hesitate. Generally, people that are friendly don't hesitate to lean over and eat from the other guy's food a little bit. But sometimes there's certain people that are makbid, either because that's their personality or because there may be a little bit of a fight, so they know each other, but...
Makbid are we in this particular, or means hekpeda?
I think the simple pshat would mean that they're angry at each other. So even though in this particular case they're makbid, but we say that since, in general, people that are makir each other, people that know each other, are not particular not to eat from the other person's plate. So then, even though in this particular case, you are makbid, well, we give it the general rule that it's still usher to eat on the same table. So it applies. This iser applies to people that are makir and zazeh, people that know each other. Then we have a concern, you're going to eat from the other person's food, so you can't have it on the same table. But guests, meaning people that are coming from two different areas, I go to the park from my office, and you come from your office, and we end up on the same table in the city park, or park bench, so then there's no concern that I'm going to eat from your food. So therefore, there's no issur to be on this, to both be eating on the same table.
So the people that know each other are not
strangers. What? Yeah, the Makirim says the opposite of achsanim. Achsanim implies that they're strangers. They just happen to be in the same place. They're coming from two different directions. Makirim means they're not strangers. They know each other.
Even though they're coming from...
Yeah, that doesn't make a difference if they're coming. I mean, if you know each other. If you happen to know that guy, even though you're... It doesn't matter which direction you're coming from. That's just used as a way to illustrate that you don't know each other. So this guy's coming from this direction, this guy's coming from that direction. That's why it says it that way. But it doesn't mean that. It means, do you know each other or are you strangers? So by strangers, the halacha is, you're allowed to eat on the same table. There's no concern you're going to come to eat from it. Even if, in a case where the you know each other, im also shum hacker, if you made a hacker means a reminder, you put a reminder on the table to remind you not to come from eat the other person's food. Kegoin, for example, shakol echad oichol amat b'shaloi, each one's eating on a separate tablecloth. Here you're eating on a fleshige tablecloth, and he's eating on the milchige tablecloth. So then that's a sufficient reminder that you should realize you're not going to come to eat from the other person's food. Oh yeah, filo oichol mamap achas. But if you happen to be eating on the same table, v'noisn beinayim pas la'ikerin, you put like a piece of bread in between the two people to serve as a hacker, as a reminder, mutter. That's okay.
The pas shach disagree with that, or
we'll see. First, let's just get a general picture of the halacha. Then we'll talk specifically. We'll discuss the specifics. So just the Ramah clarifies, it says over here in the Mechaber that a piece of bread could serve as a hecker. I'm eating chicken and you're eating cheese fries. So if I take a piece of slice of bread and I put it in between, that's a hecker, and that will serve as a reminder that we shouldn't eat from each other's food. So the Ramah says, when does a piece of bread serve as a hecker? V'davke she'ein oichle min hapas, hamunach b'neim. Davke, if you're not eating from the bread that's in between. But if if you're eating from the bread, even if one person's eating from the bread, loy have a hecker, then it does not serve as a hecker. It's part of what you're eating. It's part of your meal. I can't be eating a burger and say that the bread is a part of the food, so the bread serves as a hecker. I shouldn't eat from your cheese. That's not... A hecker means that it doesn't belong there. So if I have a piece of bread and I'm not eating it, hecker means that it has to be a little bit different. That's why it'll serve as a reminder. So if you're eating from the bread, that's part of what you're eating from. But if you have a piece of bread that you're not eating from, you just put a bilkula in between. And you're not eating from it, so that serves as a hecker.
What if it's like a loaf of bread, but you only take like one or two?
No, that's called eating from it. So then there's a question of, could a slice of bread that you're not eating from serve as a hecker? Or does it have to be a full roll? So that's a question. That's a question already. Some want to say that a piece of bread, even if you're not eating from it, it has to be a full roll. But if it's a piece, if it's a slice, so it's already, you're not so clear that you're not eating from it. It's like it's just a slice of bread. So, that's a question. But the general idea is that it has to be something that's different, something that you're doing different, something that doesn't belong. And that will serve as a reminder. Now, once we're the Zohar Rama continues, Aval im nasnu beinayim kli shashoyse mimenu. But if you put a kli that you're drinking from in between the two people, b'lav hachi ein dar kli asal shulchan, and otherwise it's not on the table. So let's say, could a bottle of Coke serve as a hecker? We're going to put the bottle of Coke in between the two people. So if you're not drinking from that bottle of Coke, of course it could be a hecker, right? Just like this, just like the piece of bread.
But then I'm saying, how could it be a hecker though? Because it's supposed to be there. You have bottles of Coke all over the table. You go sit down by a table and meal.
Things that you're drinking from belong on the table, not things that you're not drinking from.
Yeah, you'd say, in our family's house, Shabbos table always has bottles of Coke on.
In case somebody wants to drink from it. But if you guys are not drinking from it, neither of you has any intention of drinking from that bottle of Coke.
Okay, I understand.
So then it serves as a hecker. What's it doing on the table?
How do you know he's not going to end up drinking from it once it's changed?
No, we mean that you make up, that or that you know that neither of you intend to drink from this bottle. Yeah, it can just be a food that's, you know, part of your meal, but you may end up not eating from it. No, it has to be something which you are... But not eating from.
What does it have to do? You kept your hand over?
No, it's a reminder. It's a reminder. You'll get ready to lean over, and then you'll notice the bukala. What's this bukala doing that no one's eating from? And I'll remind you that you're not supposed to eat from the... It's a reminder. I'm not going to prevent you. It's not a gate. But it's a reminder. So over here he says, so could the bottle of Coke be the heter? So the Rama says... Bottle of Coke is better than the bilka. The bilka could only be a heter if you're not eating from the bilka. And none of you washed. You can't eat the bilka. You have no intention of eating this bilka. Then the bilka could be a heter. But a bottle of Coke could sometimes be a heter even if you're drinking Coke. Even if you each have a cup of Coke in front of you and you're drinking from it, the bottle of Coke could serve as a heter. If you're a very fancy place, and usually you don't put the bottle on the table, usually the waiter pours into your glass, and the waiter's holding the bottle the whole time. You don't leave the bottle on the table. So even though you're consuming that Coke, but if it's in a kind of a setup where it's usually the bottle of Coke is not on the table, the waiter's bringing it and he's pouring it in your glasses, but in this case you're leaving the bottle on the table, so that's also the hecker. It's different than it's normally. So in other words, the bilkala, the fact that if you're eating from it, does the fact that it's on the table cannot serve as a hecker. Can't remind you, because it's no difference. There's nothing different about that situation if you're eating from this piece of bread, so it belongs on the table. Whereas by the bottle of Coke, it could sometimes be that even if you're both drinking from the Coke, the fact that the Coke bottle is on the table could sometimes be a hecker. So that depends on the situation. The way we have probably... In our homes, we leave the bottle of Coke on the table that we're drinking from. So then the bottle of Coke would only serve as a hecker in a case where we're beferish, do not plan on drinking from this bottle of Coke. Okay, but in the olden days, or if you're in a fancy setup where the bottles are not staying on the table, and they're just it's just poured directly into the glasses, so then if you're going to leave the pitcher on the table, that can serve as a hecker.
Right, then we say for the bread that's normal to leave on the table.
Bread that you're eating from. No, that means that you even if it's bread of Isser, but because it's bread, we're still worried you're going to come to eat from it. You want to say that you can't? One cannot say that you're not going to eat from this. Leave bread on the table and say I'm not eating from this bread. No, it's a different bread that you're eating from. You don't just bring stuff out on the table. You're having a meal. You don't just bring your whole fridge to the table. The things that you plan on eating, then, you are on the table. Or your pantry. You don't just empty it out on the... You don't bring the box of... you're eating mashed potatoes. You don't bring the cereal box out on the... So then the cereal box is a hecker. If you're by breakfast and you're eating from the cereal, and it's normal to leave the box on the table... So then the cereal box is not a hecker. So if I ask you, is a cereal box a hecker? You say, it depends. Depends on the situation. If it's a situation where it's normal to be there, then it's not a hecker. If it's a situation where it's not normal for it to be there, then it does serve as the hecker. So is bread, could bread serve as a hecker? In a situation where it's not normal for it to be there, it can serve as a hecker. So when is it normal? If you're not eating from it, so then it's not normal for it to be there. No. We did not have any arguments yet. Just explaining.
About the eating bread, if you're allowed to eat from it.
What do you mean?
The Mahara doesn't say if you could eat from it or not.
If you could eat, what are you asking?
Clarify. Say.
No. So, doesn't the Mahara doesn't disagree? You're just adding more. No, the Mahara says the bread serves as a hecker, and the Ramah clarifies that that's only if you're not eating from it. Okay, v'koshkein im nasnu shom menorah. Other examples where what's a good hacker is if you put candelabra, hashar dvarim al shulchan. You put these things on the shulchan. The candelabra normally is the place for it is somewhere else, and you bring it onto the table. You put it in between the two people that are eating. That's a good hacker. If that's the candle that's serving as the light, it's a dim place, and that's the candle that belongs on the table there. It's a dark setting, and you're having a candle as a candlelit dinner. So then the candle belongs on the table in between the people eating. And it does not serve as a hecker. It could even be possible that the candle could serve as a hecker, you know, even if you're using the light. That's if it's in the wrong place of the table. That means to say, normally the candle's in the middle of the table, and you move it, and you're sitting at the end of the table, and you move it to the end of the table, so then even then it could serve as a hecker. There has to be some sort of shinui, something that's a little different that can serve as a reminder. Now, in terms of other conditions for something to be a good hacker, so first of all, we see from these examples that it has to be, first of all, in between the two people eating. The hacker has to be placed in between. It also has to have some sort of height. In other words, you can't take this paper and say, well, it doesn't really belong on the table that we're eating, so that will serve as a hecker. It's too... It has to have some sort of height. It has to stick out a little bit. You want to put a sitter in between, that maybe is a hecker. Something that's a little bit more... again, could a bench or something like that be a hecker? Probably it belongs on the table also, so probably... And it's going to be used later for benching. So mitzvah that, it might not be a valid hecker. You have to basically... Use your common sense to apply the guidelines that we're learning over here to see if something is a valid hecker or not. Now, there's another case that's brought in the Paskim that the only time you really need a hecker is when the two people are sitting close by. But if it's, let's say, a table this size that we're sitting on now, and you're eating the cheese over there and I'm eating the meat over here, there's no hecker. I'm not going to lean over. I can't even reach. For that far that I can't even reach, we're not worried that I'm going to get up and go to your side and take from your cheese. So then if you don't even need a hecker. That's the kulei alma. That's even the most kal situation. If it's very far away, then it's for sure okay. There's another discussion. It's already a little bit of the mafarshim, but because it's very practical, we have to talk about it. Should we say the same idea that you're eating cheese, you're eating yogurt, and I'm fleishig, meaning I had within these 6 hours I ate meat. Am I allowed to sit down at this table now?
The stomach is
Shas,
even worse.
You're eating.
It should be even worse.
Why?
Case when you're just when you're eating your fleishik and you're eating your milk, like it's shaykh, one of you is going to remember as soon as you see me lean over to take and say, yeah, you're eating fleishik. In the case when you're fleishik, stamaza, how am I supposed to know if you're fleishik or not?
That happens 3 times there.
That happened to me.
Could be that's as far as brought, huh?
3 times there.
It's a further gzeira. Yeah. Right, so basically, I think these svaras are, this is discussed. There are those that are machmir. There are those that are machmir and says that you're within 6 hours. It's also a problem. You might come to eat from the guy might pass you some of his cheese. And others say that's already too far. Chum never made an exam in this type of a case.
That's
the minig. The minig is the kula. That we say that we don't find the Mishnah the way the gzera was formulated was that they're both eating together on the same table. That's when you're not eating. If you're not eating your eating your meat, huh?
What about if you're eating other food?
That's also discussed. So we assume lakula in all the cases. Only if you're eating eating meat and the other guy's eating milk, that's when we have this gzera not being allowed to have it on the same table unless there's a hecker. Or unless you're too far away, or unless you're not mak of each other. So going back to the etzem adin, so we said that it's only an issue. The only time you're not allowed to eat on the same table is if you're mak of each other. You know each other, friendly. Otherwise, otherwise there's no need. You're allowed to be on the same table. There's no concern that you're going to come eat from the other person. So the question that's raised in the Taz is what happens when you have, let's say, it's not really brought up in the Taz, it's before in the Shulchan Aruch. That case that we said, what happens when you know each other but you're makbid? You know each other but you're makbid. So it's Paskin in the Shulchan Aruch that it's also a problem.
She got a hacker.
The Marshal, there are those, the Taz quotes, there are those that are makel. It says that since you're makbid, it's not a problem, but the Taz, and I think the Shach also, Shach brings it down. Yeah, Shach also, they agree to the Psak of the Shulchan Aruch that any case of Makirin, it's required to have it's usher to eat it unless you have the hecker. And we assume now, the way it's passing up, Lahalacha, that if it's Makirin, you're not allowed to eat on the same table, but if you put a hecker, it's okay. And we discussed the details of what's a valid hecker. That's only one opinion. There's another opinion that says that if it's makirin, a hecker doesn't help. We never learned that, Chazal never taught us that there's this idea that when there is a concern that I'm going to come eat from you, that if you put some sort of reminder, that reminder is going to help. There's one opinion that the way they understand the Gemara, the way they learn the Gemara, so in effect, what it's telling us is that there is this concept of that if you put a reminder, it's going to prevent you from eating and it will be okay. But there's another way to learn the Gemara according to which there is no indication that there is this idea of a hecker helping. So there is this is really a machloikis. And Be'emes, both of these opinions are quoted in the Torah. Well, the Shulchan Aruch here paskins, like the first opinion, that a hecker does help. And that's actually the Torah himself, also paskins in Arachayim. These same halachas are quoted in Siman Tov Ayin Gimel in Arachayim. The halachas of eating a suda, And over there, it's also paskin that a hecker helps. So that's how we paskin that a hecker helps. But it's just important to know that there is another opinion that says that a hecker does not help. Now, what's a little bit confusing is there a third opinion? Because it sounds like that the Torah might be referring to a third opinion, that sometimes a hecker helps and sometimes a hecker doesn't help. So Shach and Taz both claim that there is no third opinion. There's just two opinions. One opinion says, if you're Makirin, you need a hecker, and Makirin, it's Aser unless you have a hecker. The other opinion says that if it's Makirin, it's Aser. No indication that a hecker is of any use. That's really all you have to know. But if you want me to just say over that part of the Gemara so that when you get there in the Shach, you won't get stuck, so we'll just say it over. The Gemara quotes this halacha, that if it's makirin, it's a problem. You're not allowed to eat on the same table. So the Gemara says like this. It's only asur b'tfisa achas. These are the words of the Gemara. Tfisa achas. Okay, but if it's shtei tfisos, then it would be okay. The Gemara says it's only asur b'tfisa achas. Why should it only be asur b'tfisa achas? So the Gemara says, expands that. It's not only asur b'tfisa achas, it's also asur ke'ein tfisa achas, something which is similar to that case of tfisa achas. What is tfisa achas? So there are two pirushim. Rashi's pirush is that tfisa achas means that it's put together. The gvina and the basar is b'tfisa achas. It's wrapped up together. So the Gemara, the Braisa there was telling us that it's only asur if it's wrapped up together. It's only asur if it's wrapped up together. It's obvious that it's asur if it's wrapped up together. So the Gemara says, no. We mean even if it's not wrapped up together, if it's something like wrapped up together, meaning there's nothing separating the two. So what do you see from there? Right? The Gemara is saying, when is it asur? If it's either wrapped together or something like wrapped together, which means there's nothing separating. But if it's based tfisos, which means completely separated, meaning there's something in between that's going to serve as a reminder, then it's okay. So that this pirush, if you learn that tfisa achas means that it's wrapped up together, so in that pirush, there's an indication of hecker. That a hecker would help to separate between the two, and a hecker is a good hetter. But there's another pirush that Tosfos brings. Tosfos says that tfisa achas, sometimes we find the lashon tfisa. So tfisa, according to the first pirush, means wrapped together, held together. The other possible type of tfisa achas, tfisa could also mean, there's a lashon, it says, ha'achim shekanu esrig b'tfisa sabayis. Brothers that board an esrig in partnership, they share the tab. So that would mean ha'itzah achas, means they split the bill. So tfisa achas means that they have the same, that they're both paying for it together. So the Braisa would be saying that when is it asur to have it on the same table? As if it's tfisa achas, meaning ha'itzah achas, that they're paying for it together. So the Gemara says that's the only case that it would be asur, is if they're mamish paying for the food together. I bought a burger and you bought the cheese fries and we're splitting the bill. That's the only case that it's going to be a problem? Now the Gemara says, no, you're right. Ke'ein tfisa achas. We mean that they're friendly. Even if they're not paying the bill together, as long as they're friendly, as long as they know each other, it's a problem. And what would be based tfisos? What would be the case that's okay? That would be if they're not friendly. If they're achsanoyim, they're strangers. So is there any indication here that putting a hecker would help? Absolutely not. We were taught the din, that if it's aitzal achas, if they're splitting the bill, or even if they're not splitting the bill, but they're friendly, then it's a problem. And if they're not friendly, if they're complete strangers, then it's okay. Absolutely no indication that putting a hecker would help in a case that they're friendly. So there are two shittas, basically. If you go back to the Gemara, you'll see that there are two shittas. If you teach that tfisa achas means wrapped together, according to that pirush, a hecker helps. If you learn that tfisa achas means itzal achas, that they're splitting the tab, and ke'ein tfisa achas, where the Gemara extended that, it meant when they're friendly, and that's also a problem. And the only time it's not a problem is when they're strangers, achsanoyim. So that's just a repeat of the Mishnah that says that achsanoyim is okay, and makirin is a problem. No indication that hecker helps in a case of makirin. So really, in the end, it doesn't make a difference if it's itzah achas, if they're If it's a tzah achas or shnei oitzois, meaning if they're paying for it together or not, that really doesn't make a difference in the end lahalacha. There's either two shittas. Either a hacker helps, even in the case of a tzah achas, according to the first opinion, that a hacker helps, doesn't make a difference if they're makirin or not, if it's just makirin, or even a tzah achas. A hacker is a good thing. A hacker makes, that you're going to remember. So according to the first opinion, a hacker helps even by hitzah achas. According to the second opinion, a hacker does not help even if it's not hitzah achas. So whether or not it's hitzah achas l'maskana, according to both of the pirushim, it makes absolutely no difference. Either a hacker is going to help always, or a hacker is never going to help. So that's why we have the question on the Torah when the Torah says, if the Torah says there is an opinion that says if it's hitzah achas, if they're splitting the bill, a hacker does not help. Which implies that if it's not hoitzal achas, if they're just friendly, then a hacker would help. There's no such opinion. Either a hacker
helps, right?
Either a hacker helps even if it's hoitzal achas, or a hacker helps even if it's not hoitzal achas, as long as they're friendly, right? A hacker does not even as long as they're friendly, a hacker doesn't help. So there is no such a shita that says that a hacker does not help if it's Haitzah Achas, but it would help if it's not Haitzah Achas. There is no such a shita. So even though that would be Pasha Pshat in the Torah, the Shach and Taz make sure to explain to us that you shouldn't misunderstand the Torah. Because there is no such a shita. Either a hacker always helps or it never helps, and Allah is that it always helps. There's one more practical case I wanted to mention. The poskim discuss whether there's room to argue that a hacker only works with two people, like the case that we're discussing. Two people, if they're makir, it's a problem. If they're friendly, it's a problem. And if they're not friendly, it's not a problem. And even if they're friendly, you could put a hacker. But it could be that the hacker only works by two people that are friendly. But if it's only one person, if it's just me at the table, and there's a yogurt sitting on the table, my yogurt from breakfast, and now it's lunchtime and I'm eating chicken, so it could be that putting a hacker in between the yogurt and the chicken is not enough. Because it could be that even the hacker, you still need the other person to be there to remind you. Because you have two people, so between the two of you and there's a hacker, someone will remember. But it could be just one person might not remember. So that could be. There's room to be lenient, but this shita is brought in the poskim that by one person it's a little worse. That it could be that a hacker doesn't work by one person.
This shows and this proves the point even further that if somebody's
Okay, so let's just finish off reading the last couple of halachas that I mentioned in the Ramah, and then we're done. You should be careful not to drink from the same cup. Mishum, in other words, if I'm eating milk and you're eating meat, we can't drink from the same cup. Mishum shamaychal nidbak v'kli, meaning even if we have a proper hecker in between us, and I'm not going to eat from your milchigs, yeah, but still, even just to drink from the same power of the food is a problem, because it could be that there'll be a little bit flesh on the cup, and then when you drink it, you're eating the milk, so you're going to end up. You're going to end up getting some of that in your mouth. You're certainly not supposed to eat from the same piece of bread. I'll rip off a piece and you'll rip off a piece. Because on the bread, if I'm in the middle of eating my flesh, you're eating your cheese, it could get mixed up onto the bread and we're going to come to eat from. So it comes out that even if we're sharing a power of a food is sometimes problematic. Even if you have the hecker, which will remind you not to eat from the other person's food, but to share a power of a food is also a problem. And this is the minig, the yachet b'cheinayagin, and it's also we should also have the minig the yachet kli shel melech l'chol echad b'fnei atzmai. Ki l'pa'amim toivim b'melech, because sometimes you dip your food in the salt. So if we're sharing the same salt container, again, Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah here is discussing it like not a salt shaker, a salt a kli. A salt bowl. So then sometimes I'm going to dip my food in the salt and you're going to dip. Mela, we can't share the same salt thing. It's mashma, but if we're just talking about a salt shaker, it's not such a big concern. because you're pouring it onto. Right? So to share a salt shaker wouldn't be necessary. L'chayr mikar adin should be okay. And therefore wouldn't be necessary to have in your house two separate salt shakers, one for milchigs and one for fleishigs. Mikar adin at least. Nevertheless, it is brought down that, especially if there's kids, that sometimes they put the salt on the food, so it does get stuck onto that thing. So, and the same thing would apply to ketchup bottle, mustard bottles. Again, so these things are, you're pouring from them, you're not dipping in, make your adin, it's not a, you're not required to have separate ones, but it is recommended. That's the halacha.